folks. Thank you. Good music. Comforter is come, amen. Hallelujah. All right, Father, as we study the Word, Lord, we need wisdom and we need guidance. Lord, open the Scripture to us as you did to the two on the road to Emmaus. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn to John 14. We'll continue on with our study of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Directly bearing on this is the second advent. I doubt if there are very many people in the world left who deny the first advent. I mean, it was the profound effect that the coming of Christ has had on this earth. Undoubtedly, you can find people in remote regions and areas that have never heard his name. No doubt about that. But also, they probably couldn't tell you who the President of the United States is either. You know, I mean, they just simply don't know anything. They're isolated. But for the most part, most of the world has heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the Bible, the Holy Bible, and this book is not a book written by one man, produced by a school or a committee or a movement. This book took 1,500 years to write. And it was, I say that because that's what I was taught. It took about 2,000 years to write it. If you go back to the time of Job, who is 1900 BC or somewhere in that area, and to the 100 years after the time of Christ, that's 2,000 years. You see, the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, which is a contemporary of Abraham, which puts him back 1,900 years before Christ. So it took about 2,000 years to write the Bible. The Bible was not written so that you might sit down, read it and comfortably and enjoy a piece of literature. The Bible is a remarkable book. It really is. It really is. Even its critics must admit that the Bible has had a profound effect upon people. There are those who fall into two camps. You either believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, that's fine. I mean, every man has a right. I believe in freedom of speech. And I believe in intellectual freedom. And nobody's going to force you to believe the Bible. But I doubt if there's anybody in this house this morning that would deny the first coming. You believe he came the first time? I do believe he came the first time. We have ample secular history, secular historians, Suetonius, Pliny, I think it's the elder, the younger, whichever one, and Josephus, Tacitus, and a number of others that are totally have no, they don't have a dog in the fight, but they write about the coming of Christ, secular historians. So, you know, I'm not here today to prove that he came, but here's what he said in John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now watch this one in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now that's what we call a primary source. What do you mean by that? He's speaking first person. I will come, he said. So we're not, this is not hearsay evidence. This is not what someone said that someone else said that they heard somebody say. This is what he said. He'll come again. Now this is called the second coming of Christ. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is in itself a study in discipline. For the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is viewed in a lot of different ways. Liberalism views it this way, that every time a person comes into a relationship with God, however they want to put it, the Lord has come back. They also teach that when he arose from the dead, he arose spiritually, and that his message has come to us, so therefore, that's the second coming. There are those who teach that the second coming of Christ is an event that is that ends the world, that when he comes back, that everything is over. That it's the, as commonly referred to, it's come down in this culture today, the word apocalypse. What does the word apocalypse mean to you? It's a good idea to ask a question like that because of contemporary understanding of the word, you see. Most people get their definition of words not from a dictionary. but from the way they hear it used.
Amen.
Am I right? Am I right?
Amen.
Most of the time, the way a word is used is incorrect.
Amen.
So, what's the apocalypse? Somebody tell me, what's the apocalypse? Okay, now directly it is the book of Revelation, the apocalypse. That's the Greek word which means the unveiling. But in the culture, what does the word mean, the apocalypse? It means the end of the world, essentially, right? Is that not the way the world uses it? The end of the world, the apocalypse, okay. So, that's the way the world sees it. And the reason for that, obviously, is because the world is ignorant of the Bible, okay? The second coming of Christ is an event, but it is an event that is stretched out over a seven-year period of time, 7 years, because the second coming of Christ has other events associated with it. It's not just one thing. In John 14, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is that the second coming? I will come again. But more specifically, what is this reference to? Exactly. Now, of course, I get that answer because I'm in here this morning. If I was in a mainline Protestant church, you wouldn't hear the word rapture. Okay, I get that word rapture from you because you believe that he will come again and receive the church.
Amen.
Okay. But does that fulfill the prophecy of the second coming? No, because there's more to it. How much more? Well, there is a coming in the middle of the tribulation period. There is also a coming at the end of the tribulation period, which is commonly referred to in Bible colleges as the revelation. When he comes at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, which is the time of Jacob's trouble. That period of time, or that coming, is what consummates an age. It finishes God's dealing with mankind according to a certain standard and pattern, and changes everything over to a new age, which is the new millennium. And then he sits in Jerusalem and rule and reigns. All right, now, the reason I'm starting like this morning is because May the 21st of this month, a man by the name of Harold Camping, he's 88 years old, he's a civil engineer, and he owns a radio station in California, Southern California. He has a war chest of $120 million. That's quite a bit of money. And with that kind of money, he can advertise billboards and so forth, and he has. He has advertised all over this country that on May the 21st of this year, in other words, 13 days from today, the Lord's coming back. And he states unequivocally, note carefully, Judgment Day, May the 21st, 2011, the Bible guarantees it. Now, if you take from what he said right there, how would you interpret that? What does he mean by Judgment Day, May 21st? The reason I started all of this, what do you think he's talking about?
There was nothing. The coming of the Lord.
Judgment, right? The rapture is not Judgment Day.
Amen.
The rapture is when he comes to catch his bride up. And the apostle said, Behold, I show you a mystery, 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. All right? The mystery is something that God had revealed in a place in time. He had to reveal it. That's what a mystery is all about. What was the mystery about? It's about the rapture of the church of God.
Amen.
Why didn't he reveal it before? Because the church didn't exist.
Amen.
Until the church came into being, no need for the revelation of the mystery. Then he revealed it. All right. Now, okay. Now, Mr. Camping, apparently, from what I can read of this, and I haven't done an exhaustive study on his theology, but I'm looking at what he's saying. He's saying that May the 21st is Judgment Day. I will assume by what he said here that that means that he believes that Judgment Day has to do with the fact that God's going to come back and judge the earth. Apparently, he's using into the common sense of apocalypse. A general judgment, a judgment of mankind. That's it. It's over. All right. He's deadly serious. He's not playing games. He's not joking with anybody. He has laid his reputation on the line, and he is saying that May the 21st, Judgment Day. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, verse 36. Twenty-fourth chapter of Matthew, verse number 36. Now, when you study the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, those of you that have studied the Bible, who do you think he's addressing? I mean, what group of people do you believe is the subject of the 24th chapter?
Israel.
It's not the church, is it?
Amen.
It's Israel. Okay. Now, look at verse number 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Yes.
Now, you remember when we talked about John the Baptist? We said that John the Baptist, the Scripture says that John, the Lord said himself, that John the Baptist, he said he could be Elijah, if you'll accept him. All right? That's conditional. That's a conditional statement. Once you introduce the idea of something being conditional, then everything changes. When something becomes conditional, it doesn't necessarily mean then that you have a point fixed in time. But that could be moved one way or the other. Therefore, when you look at the second coming of the Lord, ask yourself this question this morning. Do you believe that the second coming of Christ is a place, a point fixed in time, or do you believe that it is conditional? You see what that does? If you believe it's a point fixed in time, then it's unchangeable. That means that regardless of what happens, that it's going to come at that time. Okay? It's going to come. But if you believe that it's conditional, then you think, there's maybe more going. Yes, there is. For example, the Lord said of the seven-year tribulation period, he said, except those days be shortened. That's conditional. Is that not conditional? Except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be left alive. That's conditional. All right? When you look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they've argued for centuries about whether or not the church could bring him back, or whether or not the Jews building the temple could bring him back, or whether or not the earth slipping into the depths of apostasy could bring him back. What event could bring back the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't. Nobody has the answer to that. And the reason they argue these, this is an argument to begin with, is because they view it in the sense that it is conditional. I tend to lean in that direction, that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is conditional.
Amen.
Now, it's not conditional to the fact that he's going to come back. He's coming back. I don't question that for a moment. The Lord's coming back. But the idea here is that here is a man who has staked his reputation on a fixed date and time. And he's saying the Lord's coming back May the 21st. He's 88 years old. He's 24 years my senior. He's been studying the Bible now, I think he said, for 70 years. A lot longer than I have. And he's been, you know, he's studying the Word of God. He has obviously poured himself into it. And he has, being an engineer, he's a civil engineer, so he's good with math. He's obviously done an awful lot of calculations to arrive at this date. But he doesn't consider the fact that he is, in his mind, is figuring on the fact that the date is something fixed in time. There is nowhere in that Bible, folks, not one passage in that Bible that fixes a date to measure the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from at the second advent.
Amen.
Not a one. Yes, sir.
This has been done 5 times in my life.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to read some of them to you here in just a moment. I've got 4 pages. It's nothing new. Nothing new. I mean, everybody that gets a little rambunctious puffed up, you know, they figure, well, I know when the Lord's coming back, so they set a date. Yes, ma'am. Well, the fact that he's coming, he's half right. The Lord is coming back. But now somebody says, well, now there ain't no way he's going to come back the 21st. Now, how do you know that? Exactly. But you see, he's got a, what do you call it, 50-50 chance of being right. Right? I heard a preacher say one time, well, he picked a date. Ain't no way the Lord's going to come back on that date. That's just as foolish as picking the date. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. He's just liable to hit the date by luck. Now, bottom line is, I hope he's right. I'm not against it. I hope he's right. Yes, sir.
When he gets here, we'll know.
We'll know, won't we? We'll know. We'll know. The purpose in this lesson is not to make fun of this man. You know, I'm not up here to make, you know, there's plenty of stuff to make fun about. Church house is not a place. I'm not here to make fun of him. But I'm responsible as a teacher to show you how that you can get yourself in a mess. And that now he's got himself, and this is not the first time he did this.
Amen.
Not the first. Mr. Camping in 1994 said this. He wrote a book entitled 1994. In it, Camping says, if this study is accurate, notice the conditional, if this study is accurate, he allows himself an out. And I believe with all my heart that it is. All right, you can believe something, though, that's false. There will be no extensions of time. There will be no time for second guessing. When September the 6th, 1994, let me get my papers here, arrives, no one else can be saved. The end has come. Thousands believed Camping's distorted biblical teachings, but again, the end did not come as Camping had wished. The date he set was September the 6th, 1994. All right, he was wrong on that date.
Amen.
He was wrong. But there's something about date setters I've noticed. Haven't you noticed it? It doesn't stop them.
Yep.
I mean, even if they're wrong,
Amen.
They'll come out and set another date.
Yes,
don't you think that's amazing?
Amazing?
It is amazing. It really is. So, and of course, I think his theology's wrong too, because he believes God's coming back in judgment, and that's it. He doesn't believe in the tribulation, doesn't believe in the rapture of the church or any of that. Theologically, he's wrong, but as far as the date setting is concerned, until May the 22nd, I can't say he's wrong.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Am I right or am I wrong? Yes, ma'am. Oh, good night. No. You absolutely. This little pea brain we think with, he made. A man is arrogant when he begins to think that he can mentally spar with God. That's arrogance and ignorance.
Amen.
He sure is. That's a fool of all fools to think he can outsmart. He can't even outsmart the devil. Yes, sir. His background, he's our post-millennial. He's not premillennial. Yeah, he's one of the two. That's classic, these big words, if you don't know what they mean, amillennial, premillennial, post-millennial. These are big sounding theological terms, pre-millennium, post-millennium, amillennium. No millennium, pre, before the millennium, post, after the millennium. That's what it means. And all three of these are broken down into subgroups that bear on the teaching. It has to do, it's a study in itself. Yes, sir.
You know, in verse 32 of the same chapter, it says, learn the parable of fig tree. When the branches are yet tender and put forth leaves, know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door.
Right.
We can know by looking at what's going on that he's coming soon.
We have ample evidence.
Amen.
to believe in the coming of the Lord soon.
Yes, sir.
I do believe he's coming soon.
Sure.
And I mean, I firmly believe it. And I believe that he'll come in my lifetime.
Yep.
But I don't know that to be so. But I believe he will. What's happening in the Holy Land right now, the way things are heating up over there, it's not a coincidence.
Amen.
It's quite a remarkable thing, too, don't you think, that Osama bin Laden, having, as they say, stayed in that secure house for something like 5 or 6 years. The ISI, is that what it's called, the Pakistani intelligence, along with the CIA, the American intelligence, and the rest of them didn't know he was there. That's quite a remarkable thing. Quite a remarkable thing. Give them credit for, and I'll tell you one thing right now, the Navy SEALs are some of the finest troops, believe me, you'll ever find. They got courage, they got sense, they're well trained. When they do something, it works like clockwork. And it's a fine, outstanding organization. It's the best of the best. They sent them in, they did their job. But when the politicians are working in the background, that's a different issue altogether.
Amen.
Different issue altogether. What kind of scheming, what kind of intrigue, what all is happening in the background? Nobody but the Lord knows. But it's amazing how things happen at certain times. It really is. It's amazing. This man was taken out, and now the Arab world is screaming for blood and so forth. And I was told by Brother Valance a moment ago that a high-ranking official in Israel, he showed me a direct quotation from that official in Israel. And how old is that? 3 or 4 days? May the 11th. Good night. Only, you know, just a few days. Made this statement in reference to Syria and in reference to Iran. And this is the first time that they have ever publicly said something like this. Israel has always denied that they had atomic weaponry. And he said, "We will take you from the face of the earth in seconds."
Amen.
Referring to Syria and referring to Iran.
Amen.
To paraphrase him. And, you know, what does that mean? What does it mean? They don't just boast. These aren't a bunch of boys down on Hey Boy Corner, you know, showing their muscles off to each other. Why would a high-ranking official from Israel get up and make a statement like that to Syria and to Iran? Well, of course they can back it up, but why the timing? Why make a public statement like that? See? Watch these things. Watch this stuff. There's some heavy-duty stuff going on. Watch it. And I know they feel threatened. I know Israel feels threatened. I know that the Mubarak, when he was thrown out of Egypt, I know that outfit came in behind him with the Muslim Brotherhood with a great influence. They don't like Israel. Mubarak continued the peace treaty that Anwar Sadat signed with Menachem Begin at Camp David, and he continued that peace treaty, thanks be unto God. But it's not going to be I think that peace days are over, folks. I believe it's coming. In 1832, Mormon founder Joseph Smith prophesied under divine revelation the gathering of the saints and the coming of the New Jerusalem. He said the Lord would return, and he said he would return within his lifetime. William Miller, 1844, a Massachusetts farmer, after years-long study of the Bible, chiefly Revelation, Daniel, concurred that the second coming of Christ would take place between 21 March 1843 and 21 March 1844. When this time passed, he and his followers set up new dates. 1870, Cyrus Reed Teed, did the same thing. 1874, Charles Taz Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's important to tie these names together, too. That's where the Jehovah's Witnesses come from. That is one of the worst cults that ever walked the face of the earth. Why? They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They make him a created God. But Charles Taz Russell, founder of what became the Jehovah's Witness, first announced the last days, definitely begun in 1874. The end of the world would come in 1914. Didn't happen. Succeeding witnesses placed the date 1925. Didn't happen. 1936. Didn't happen. 1953. Didn't happen. 1973. Didn't happen. Notice the progression. They're wrong, they do it again. They're wrong, they do it again. They're wrong, they do it again. William Branham, 1940, Pentecostal faith eater, declared himself to be God's end time prophet, urged all Christians to come out of the corrupt denominations before the Lord's return. 1945, AD 45, Protestant minister in Hiroshima, upon the dropping of the first atomic bomb, He said, "The feeling I had was that everyone was dead, the whole city destroyed. I thought all my family must be dead. It doesn't matter if I die. I thought this was the end of Hiroshima, Japan, of humankind. This was God's judgment on mankind." That was in 1945. Do you remember the Children of God under David Berg? Back in the 70s and the 80s, you couldn't go into a shopping center and walk around the parking lot without one of them coming up and handing you some kind of a document. He said they claimed their leader, David Berg, was God's end-time prophet to the world. Prophecy teacher, 1976, Doug Clark, announced that President Jimmy Carter would be the president who will meet Mr. 666. The Antichrist soon. That doesn't do the faith any help.
Amen.
It doesn't. It doesn't. In 1982, full-page advertisements in many major newspapers for the weekend of April 24th through 25th, 82, announced the Christ is now here and predicted that he was to make himself known within the next 2 months. He didn't. 1980, psychic Gene Dixon predicted a world holocaust for the 1980s. The rise of a powerful world leader born in the Middle East in 1962. Didn't happen. I've got this man's book in my office, 1988, Edgar C. Wisnant, who was a NASA scientist. These aren't ignorant people. In his book, 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988, gave a 3-day period in September for the saints to be caught up with the Lord. When this failed, he issued another book claiming he was off 1 year and urged everybody to be ready in 1989. Didn't happen. Isn't that sad? That's sad. 1990, Elizabeth Clare Prophet predicted the end of the world by the nuclear war, 1990. 1992, rapture, October the 28th, 1992. Jesus is coming in the air. Full page ad, October 20th, 1991. Issue of USA Today. Didn't happen. David Koresh, 1993. Self-proclaimed little lamb of Isaiah 16 and the second coming of Christ, died in a fiery conflagration with some 80 of his followers. That was a dark day for America when they burned all those children to death. As it was. Dark, dark day. Spin it any way they want to. They knew that compound had children in there, full of children. I saw that tank back up and fire coming out of the end of its spout. Yeah, how many of you saw that?
Amen.
I'm not saying Koresh was right, and I'm not saying I believe anything they believe. But children are innocent victims. But anyway, Koresh, he died with 80 of his followers, members of the Branch Davidians, an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventists, had faced a botched ATF raid of their compound near Waco, a subsequent 51-day siege by the FBI. A devastating fire broke out, and the FBI attempted to fire gas into the group's buildings. And he claimed that he was the little lamb of Isaiah 16. And I read you about Harold Camping, 1994. Mary Stuart Ralph, 1997, wrote in 1983 that she'd been praying to know the Lord, know the year of the Lord's coming, and that subsequently she received detailed divine revelations from God. She released a chart showing World War III beginning in 1989, the Great Tribulation starting in 1990, and that Jesus Christ will be back in 1997, just after Armageddon. All right. If you type into the web failed prophecies, you will pull up thousands and tens of thousands of hits.
Amen.
You will pull them up from one end of the world to the other. You will pull up websites of agnostics and atheists because, believe me, they keep a record.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you who's watching the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it prosperity preachers. It's the atheists and the agnostics. They got the score on that bunch. Do you know why they do that? Because they can hide behind them and justify themselves. They know exactly what's going on. They look. And so now they're watching Mr. Camping May the 21st. Imagine what it's going to look like May the 22nd if the Lord doesn't come back on May the 21st. How do you think they'll receive that? So what should we do? Do what I'm doing right now? Doing what I'm doing right now? I hope he's right. But he'll hit it by luck. Because there is no way that any man knows when the Lord's going to come back. For the Bible said plainly in Matthew 24, no man knoweth the day or the hour. And I believe that it's conditional on the second coming. That's the reason no man knows the day or the hour. Therefore, if it is conditional, there is no way in this world that you can run any mathematical calculations, compare any charts, and come to a fixed date and time.
Amen.
See what I mean? I believe it's conditional. Yes, sir. At the end of, exactly, so he shortens them. He shortens them. He didn't tell you, he doesn't say how much he shortens them. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, not knowing the date. Yes. Exactly. I mean, if everybody knew when the Lord was going to come back, the exact, let's say you knew without a shadow of a doubt, he's coming back at 8 o'clock in the morning. Would it be business as usual this afternoon? Yes, sir. Yeah. Right. Right. Now, the thing to understand about the Bible is that when it uses the terminology world, you know, sometimes it's speaking of the end of an age, and sometimes the end of one age doesn't necessarily begin another age. Sometimes they overlap. Sometimes there's an overlap. Exactly. There's an overlap. So you have two ages running simultaneously. You got to watch stuff like that. The Bible is it's not written for you to pump up your own your own mind and worship your mind like the atheist and like the agnostic does. The Scripture is given for us so that we would what? Look. He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation for those that look for his appearing. It is that looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ that's called the blessed hope. What that means is that it's not. It stops being a doctrine and becomes a way of life. See what I mean? If you're looking for the coming of the Lord, it affects the way you live.
Amen.
He that hath this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. What hope? Hope of the second advent.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes. 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 Many of the people that I just quoted, read here a moment ago, many of these people, now some of them are cultists and some of them never knew the Lord from day one, but some of these people are good people. They're brothers and sisters. They love the Lord. They just made that fatal error of picking a day of the second coming. You ask the average man on the street, though, do you believe the end of the world's coming? And a lot of them will say to you, yeah, I think something's going to happen. You know, and they don't know any one scripture from another. They just have a feeling. A feeling. Yes, sir.
The coming of the Lord is not so much what I worry about. I worry about the judgment seat of Christ. And how the
saved. Well, that's what Christians, you know, he said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord.
Amen.
Say amen. The Bema you're talking about is where he judges the Christians. It's not for salvation. That happened at Calvary. He judges you for your stewardship. Well, all right, I'm not going to pick up anything else this morning. If anybody have any questions about what we've covered, what I focused on today, I wanted to focus on the idea that somebody can pick the coming, the second coming, pick the date. In your heart of hearts, do you believe that Mr. Camping is right? He has nothing to base it on. Yes, ma'am. You know, that's a good perspective, that is. That's a good perspective. You know what she brought in? The issue of glory. Now, think about it. This man sets himself apart from everybody else on the face of this earth as being the man who can tell you when the Lord's going to come back. Yeah, it's the issue of glory. No, he won't share it. He'll share his power, his grace, his mercy, all that, but he'll never share his glory. Yes, sir.
In 34, it says, this generation shall not pass until all these things I can't predict someone's death, nor can you predict mine. That generation will live as long as God wants it.
Well, you can't even tell us what a gallon of gasoline will cost tomorrow. I know. What's that? When did that happen? Yesterday or this morning?
Saturday morning, I think.
Yeah. But you see, you don't know. Men don't know. That's that element of the unknown. The element of the unknown will do a lot of things to you. It really will. And the coming of the Lord is an unknown thing. You can know you're saved, but you don't know when it's coming. See? Yes, sir.
The Feast of Trumpets, a lot of people face their, you know, second coming on that. But the Feast of Trumpets is a conditional feast. Whenever they declare the Feast of Trumpets, they have to see the moon on a clear night. It can't be cloudy. If it's cloudy, then it goes to the next day, or the next day, or the next day. But they have to see the moon in order to declare the Feast of Trumpets. It begins at that time.
So conditional. Yes, sir.
I believe it's, just going on, just going on, I read my Bible says that he's a feast that I give, not as the world give it.
Right. Yes. About education? Well, there's nothing wrong with education, per se. But the problem is that if they educate you out of common sense, and that, yes, it is. One man said education without salvation is damnation. And there is a lot of truth in that. Yeah. Yeah. But the Bible itself says, study to show thyself approved. Learn. The Apostle Paul, if you like to use the term doctor, he was a doctor. But I know what you're talking about. It's been more than one young man or young woman that left their church and went off to a college or university somewhere and had their faith destroyed.
Amen.
By unbelieving Amen. Professors. Been more than one. You better believe it. Been more than one. All right. We'll come to a close right here. Anybody else before we shut up?
I had a question.
Yes, sir.
When you say it's conditional, what do you mean by that?
It's conditional. The second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ is conditional. I just mentioned back during the lesson some things that it could be conditional on. It could be conditional on Israel's place in history. In other words, how they're relating to their Arab neighbors, when, how soon war with the Arabs is coming, because it is coming. It could be the apostasy of the church, how low he will let the church get. How apostate will it be? Because the Lord Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It could be a distribution of the balance of power in the world. The United States is a superpower, but you've also got Red China, you've got Russia, and Israel, as I said a moment ago, it made this, threats against those two neighboring countries, Syria and Iran, and said, we can take you from the face of the earth in 2 or 3 seconds. In plain words, God will let it get so far, but he'll stop it from going too far. And the progression of history brings man to a certain point. And only the Almighty knows when to make that call. He's the only one. He knows when to make the call. So that makes it conditional. I think a lot of it has to do with the apostasy of the church. The church is apostate. How apostate is the church? It probably shock us all to death today to find out. Really? Okay. All right, yes, sir.
It's conditional on our mind.
Well, he already knows the future.
He says he will not tarry.
You know, yeah, he that come will come and will not tarry. But that has to do with the fact that when he sends his son to go, his son goes. But God knows all things. He knows the day it's going to come. If he didn't, he wouldn't be God. Sure he does. He knows the future. In other words, what I'm saying by what I said to you was that he's waiting for the event to happen here on this earth, for the events to coincide or dovetail, or whatever's necessary for the moment to come for the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But he already knows when that day's going to be.
Amen.
That's the conditional. Yeah.
But the rapture is not the
end. No, it's just the beginning of it.
So, you can't predict the day without...
You can't. That's the point. Yeah. How can you predict something that's conditional?
He's such a conditional.
God does.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Well, there's more than one judgment. You've got a great white throne judgment, judgment seat of Christ. You've got a judgment within the tribulation of the nations, one side and one the other. You got the judgment within the millennium. The judgment of the church, the bride is not judgment for sin. It's the judgment for stewardship at the judgment seat of Christ, which takes place right after the rapture. Right after the rapture. Because we got a meal to go to. And we're not going to that meal until that judgment seat's taken care of. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Amen, brother. That's right. Well, he also said, and one will say he is here and one will say he is there. Believe them not. As the lightning flashes in the east and you see it in the west, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. He's not going to come clandestinely or esoterically or through some kind of a doctrine or some kind of a movement or some kind of a spiritual emanation. When he shows up, he shows up. Exactly. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. And we'll pick it up again next week and move on with this thing. Brother Yarbrough, dismiss us, please.